Okay, tonight we are on page 63, chapter 9, the boards operating corporations in the 2021 through 2023 Red Service Manual. To get us started, I will read from page C24, concept 8. The trustees of the General Service Board act in two primary capacities. A, with respect to the larger matters of overall policy and finance, they are the principal planners and administrators. They and their primary committees directly manage these affairs. And B, but with respect to our separately incorporated and constantly active services, the relation of the trustees is mainly that of full stock ownership and of custodial oversight, which they exercise through their ability to elect all directors of these entities. Please send questions directly to Billy through the chat. He will be answering questions throughout this presentation as he sees fit. Billy, you'll have until 5 minutes till the top of the hour, and the time is now yours.
Thanks. I'm Billy. I'm an alcoholic. I saw Tom M. Tom, happy birthday. Chronologic birthday, I believe. Congratulations. If I get to like even close to there, I will be a happy, happy camper. So you set a good example. Anyway, we are on. I just want to turn a page for a second. If you could just hold on for 1 second. Of course, I want to go back and forth between like two sections of the book. So I had them read Concept 8 because I thought that was the best reading to start off what we're going to talk about tonight. And over the next 2 weeks, and I'll talk to the district about how many weeks I really have left. If I have enough to do a chapter a week, I do. Okay. But there's individual chapters about AAWS and EA Grapevine. One of the things that you'll notice, if you read this chapter before we did tonight, that we're talking about the service corporations, and yet in the beginning of this chapter, they talk about the reserve fund. That is obviously a mistake. I love the new service manual. It's awesome, much better than the old one. But the service corporations have no authority on the reserve fund. But I will get to that tonight. I had them read Concept 8 because it has two parts. And the first part is about the trustees' overall job and how they do things by committee. And how the trustees deal with the routine business of AA. But B really speaks to the affiliate corporations of Concept 8, where it says, but with respect to the separately incorporated and constantly active services, the relation of the trustees is mainly that of full stock ownership and of custodial oversight, which they exercise through their ability to elect all these entities. So if you did read the chapter, you noticed that it's unusual that there is a footnote on page C26, but there's no corresponding one anywhere in the narrative, which is unusual for a footnote. There's a couple of reasons for that. I will plead guilty that I sent in the agenda item when I was a non-trustee director to get this footnote, to correct an inaccuracy in the concept. But because you can't change the concepts, and putting a footnote one would be a change to the concept, they just list it here. Because the concept says that the trustees maintain, the relation of the trustees is that of full stock ownership and custodial oversight. So you should just know that from a high level. I don't want to get too in the weeds, but when this was all first started, it was one company that owned two companies. The first company was the holding company, the General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous, Inc. And then the two companies that they owned 100% of the stock of were AA World Services, Inc. and AA Grapevine, Inc. However, the footnote says that these have become membership corporations, which is a category under New York State nonprofit law. So, interweaving concept eight and concept seven, just in case any of you are curious, because spiritually, we still have one company that owns two companies. The General Service Board is the holding company, and spiritually, it has two subsidiaries. But we've stopped using the word subsidiary because technically, legally, they're not subsidiaries anymore. The one company does not own those other two companies. What we have is three very independent companies or corporations, nonprofit corporations, that don't own each other. So, how do the trustees then keep control of these two supposedly legal, spiritually subsidiaries, but legally independent? The way that is done is that the owners of all three corporations are the individual 21 trustees. So, who owns AA Grapevine Inc.? The 21 members. Who owns the General Service Board Inc.? The 21 members. Who owns AA World Services Inc.? The 21 members. So, they all have common ownership, meaning the trustees, but not the General Service Board. The General Service Board does not own those affiliate, what we call them, corporations. However, if you read the bylaws, or if you've ever read the bylaws of AAWS or the AA Grapevine, the directors of those corporations are selected by the trustees. The bylaws further state that at least four members of each board have to be trustees. So, D, would it be a total pain in the ass if you brought up that sheet from last week that we used? You could, all right, so just give me a second. I just want to bring up that sheet. Because, as I said last week, visual is much easier. So, there you see. The kind of spiritual overarching org chart. Look at AA World Services. Who's on that board? Two regional trustees, two general service trustees, the general manager of GSO, the staff coordinator at GSO. So two employees are on the AWS board. There are no employees on the General Service Board. And then three non-trustee directors. Now look at the AA Grapevine Board. Two regional trustees, two general service trustees, one employee, the publisher. There could be four non-trustee directors or five if they had to, but they only have three, and they do have a Class A trustee sitting on the Grapevine Board. So, one of the questions we get a lot is why isn't there a Class A on the AWS board? There could be, but the reason for the Class A on the AA Grapevine board is how can we use that magazine to serve outside, let the Grapevine be a PI tool and help with professionals who maybe could use the Grapevine. As someone who served on the AAWS board, I could tell you that on AAWS, the most important thing is that you're an alcoholic member with AA service experience. Because no matter what business decision you are making, the first question is, does it fit within the traditions? It doesn't matter how great a business idea, how bad a business idea, you don't even get to question two until the first question is answered, which is what we're about to do. Does it fit within our traditions? So, or if you're looking at this thing, it doesn't have to be two regional trustees and two general service trustees on each board, but that's how it usually is. That's how the rotation is set up. regional trustees, I'll go slow. Regional trustees serve their first year and their last year only as a member of the General Service Board. But their second and third year, they are a member of the General Service Board, and they're also a director on one of the affiliate corporations. So, first and fourth year, they're just on the General Service Board. Middle 2 years, they're on one of the affiliate corporations. The trustees nominating committee decides where those regional trustees will sit, which board. The non-trustee directors, so somebody like me, who was a general service trustee, the only way to become a general service trustee, you can take it down now, Dee. Thank you, though. The only way to become a general service trustee is to have been a non-trustee director first. So I served 8 years on the AA World Services Board, four as a non-trustee director and four as a trustee director. Not every non-trustee director becomes a general service trustee, but you have to have been a non-trustee director to become a general service trustee. Who are these non-trustee directors and why do we have them? There's three on each board. It's because 99.5% of the business transactions get done by AAWS or AA Grapevine. Really, the only business transaction that the General Service Board does is receive the contributions. That's what they do business-wise. But all the business transactions, all the employee issues, all the real estate rental, all the furniture purchases, all the IT needs, all the payroll and accounting, all the HR issues and people and cost, archives, that is all either done by AA World Services or AA Grapevine. Non-trustee directors have to be alcoholic members of AA. But unlike the other trustees, remember from last week, we have 21 trustees, 14 are alcoholic class B. The eight regional trustees and the two trustees at large do not need professional business experience. They are elected because of their AA service leadership. Now, if they have, some of them have professional experience, but it's not a requirement. To be a non-trustee director, you have to be an AA member, you have to have AA service experience, and you have to have a particular business professional experience to be selected. That may be legal, that may be finance or accounting, that may be publishing, that may be information technology, digital technology. It may be executive management and leadership, but you have to have some professional experience. The only way to become a general service trustee is there's an opening, and you are either a past non-trustee director or a current one who's already finished one term. I did 4 full years as a non-trustee director and then 4 years as a general service trustee. So I served 8 years on the AA World Services Board. See, unlike regional trustees, who only serve their middle 2 years on an affiliate corporation, general service trustees serve all 4 years they're a trustee on one of those affiliate corporations, usually the one where they were a non-trustee director. But there have been times when someone has been a non-trustee director on AA World Services and served as a general service trustee on the AA Grapevine and vice versa. That has happened. That is to make sure so that the trustees know that besides the two employee directors of the AA Grapevine, of the AA World Services Board, that there are three business professionals. So five, and then add two more, the general service trustees. Now you have seven people who have some professional experience who are the directors of that board, and then two regional trustees who might have professional experience or might not. Same with the Grapevine. The Grapevine works the exact same way. If you read page 63 of the service manual, it says the General Service Board has custodial oversight of both of these corporations, which it exercises by electing the directors of each. And then a very important line, while the General Service Board does not interfere with the daily operation of either corporation, it does have the ultimate responsibility for seeing that both operate in the best interest of the fellowship. So there's an exception in concept eight about micromanaging and staying out of the daily activities. There's two exceptions, actually, as to when the General Service Board should insert itself into daily activities. That is, if that one of those service corporations is exceeding its budget constantly, or if the two service corporations are not getting along well. Now, that's kind of a thing, a carry-on from the past. Some of you may know the name Albin Z. Albin was a non-trustee director. He was a general service trustee for 3 years. Then he became the director of staff services at GSO. He resigned as a trustee and became the director of staff services. And then he became the executive editor of the publisher of the Grapevine. When Albin and I became non-trustee directors in 2009, we were assigned on a new ad hoc committee of the General Service Board called the AAWS Grapevine Cooperation Committee. The reason that committee was started was because they were not cooperating with each other. They were acting like 10-year-old brothers and sisters, actually, with signs on the door. Anyone can come in this room except my sister, right? And so we've had great cooperation now since like 2009, 2010, and it's still getting better. But think about the 21 trustees. They have a bunch of trustee committees. They deal with all the AA issues, all the conference issues, all the service material issues. Really, the AA issues are what the trustee committees deal with. The boards deal with the business issues of those corporations. You could never do it with 21 people. It would be unruly and too big. So we have these corporate boards. AAWS is nine, Grapevine is 10 when they choose to put a Class A on there, which they do have now. And let's see, before I move on, I'm going to address the top of page 64, which is the reserve fund. I don't know why it's in this chapter, but especially in today's day and AA, it's important to know what's going on with the reserve fund. The reserve fund has been our guiding principle. It says established by the board in 1954, the principal purpose of the reserve fund is to provide financial resources to continue the essential services of AAWS and AA Grapevine in the event of an emergency or disaster, to fund costs beyond the usual means of AAWS and Grapevine, such as major leasehold improvements or technical upgrades, and to allow the General Service Board and its two operating affiliates time to formulate and implement plans to adjust to changed economic or other conditions. It's funny. Really, up until 2020, the only thing we ever used the reserve fund for was to loan money to each corporation or to invest in real estate, more space, or buying all new furniture or very expensive technology, as you know, once 1995, 2000, 2005 came and technology became big parts of any business. But in 2020, you read what this says about economic conditions and emergency. we had a thing called COVID. You know, it's funny because when I was a trustee, I would travel around to regional forums and assemblies, and I would always run into people who thought we were hoarding money. Well, thank God we had that $4 million in May of 2020 to keep our employees paid, to keep our real estate rented, to survive when people weren't ordering books and literature. It says that, you know, our reserve fund, the minimum guideline is 9 months and the maximum is 12. Currently, we're at 6.2 months. That's a couple of million dollars below our minimum. That's probably getting into dangerous territory. Another incident like COVID, and we would be down to maybe 3.5, 4 months. And so, obviously, a lot of people ask at area assemblies and their trustees, what's the plan to repay the reserve fund? Because we take the reserve fund very seriously, especially the maximum. And I want to stress that. There is no conference action or board policy about what we need to do when we go under 9 months. But there is a policy if the upper level, 12 months, is above 12 months for more than a year. And if it is above 12 months for more than a year, the trustees are required to bring a plan to the Conference Finance Committee as to how they're going to lower the reserve fund. It's interesting if you look at AAWS's profit and loss. Before COVID, AAWS usually never lost money. But in 2001 and 2002, you'll see a blip where we lost money, but that was a planned losing of money because the reserve fund had been over 12 months for like 2 years. And even budgeting to lose that money did not work well enough. We still had too much money. I don't know who here was sober in 2002 when the fourth edition of the Big Book was published. But one thing interesting is that the first printing of a fourth edition was a dollar cheaper than the last printing of a third edition. Because budgeting to lose money hadn't lowered the reserve fund enough, the AAWS board tanked the price of the Big Book. And then by 2003 and 4, the reserve fund leveled out to between 11 and 12 months. But that is how serious we take that. I will send this to the district so it can be put in the files. But one of the greatest things written about, let me just see if I can find it quickly. It's a question of what did I file it under? Seventh tradition, maybe? Yes, seventh tradition. There is a presentation that was done in 1984 by Gary Glenn. I use his last name, even though we're recorded, because he was a Class A non-alcoholic trustee. Gary also, this is 1994. Gary served as treasurer, Class A treasurer of the General Service Board, and then served as chair of the General Service Board. He is definitely one of my heroes. You know, a legend when I was a young delegate in 1999, Gary Glenn. But he wrote a presentation called Corporate Poverty that is in the, it was later published in the Grapevine, but I want to read a little of this to you. It says, so is corporate poverty a spiritual and practical principle that it would assure AA's future? Of course it is. In the seventh tradition, when talking about how AA acted when it found out about the bequests that were coming our way, Bill wrote, "The pressure of that fat treasury would surely tempt the board to invent all kinds of schemes to do good work with those funds and so divert AA from its primary purpose. The moment that happened, our fellowship's confidence would be shaken. The board would be isolated and would fall under heavy attack of criticism from both AA and the public. Then our trustees wrote a bright page in AA history. They declared for the principle that AA must always stay poor. Bare running expenses plus a prudent reserve would henceforth be the foundation's financial policy." He went on to say, "At that moment, we believe the principle of corporate poverty was firmly and finally embedded in AA tradition." That sounds pretty simple. Avoid schemes that divert us from our primary purpose and only have enough money around to meet bare running expenses and maintain a prudent reserve. I don't think anyone in this room would object to those statements. So why are we sharing about them? The reason is it's pretty clear that they mean different things to different people. The concepts try to help a little more in making these principles concrete. Actually, the concepts might be confusing, especially about the power of the purse and our prudent reserve, which usually are at the center of debate about corporate poverty. In the first warranty, Bill tells us why a dictator wouldn't last a year. And in the brief time he did last, what would he use the money for? Our delegates, directly representing the groups, control the ultimate supply of our service funds. Sounds here like the power of the purse is supposed to be immediate, doesn't it? That's on page 63 of that service manual. On page 63 in the second warranty, writing about hard times might do to AA, Bill says our present reserve and its book income would see it through several years of hard times without the slightest diminution in the strength and quality of our world service. Sounds there as if immediate was not what he had in mind after all. So he then goes on to say this: what about if we ran out of money? Why do we have a prudent reserve? If we ran out of money, we might have to borrow from a bank temporarily to keep the doors open. If we did that, we would lose some measure of financial independence. A strong reserve fund is one of the prices we have to pay to ensure that no one but the fellowship sets our financial priorities. And continually debating whether the reserve fund is perilously large is part of that price. So people always ask, how does money get in the reserve fund? Money gets in the reserve fund a couple of ways. If AAWS has a surplus at the end of the year, the General Service Board takes that money from them. It doesn't stay in AA World Services. They keep enough operating money, and the extra goes into the reserve fund. Same with Grapevine. If the International Convention has money above expenses, it goes into the reserve fund. That is where reserve fund money comes from. Why is it in the wrong section of the service manual? Because the service corporations cannot take money out of the reserve fund. See, the reserve fund is owned by the trustees. The best place I can tell you to see this, like if you want to see it in action, because our banking is complicated. But if you were to go to the AA Grapevine tonight and you ordered a subscription with your debit or credit card, the receipt that would show on your bank statement would be AA Grapevine Inc. And if you went tonight to the literature catalog on the AA.org website and bought some AAWS literature, the receipt would say AA World Services Inc. or AAWS Inc. However, if you then went back into the website tonight and went to the electronic contribution section and made an electronic contribution for a group or an individual, The receipt would say General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous, Inc. You see, when you give money, when your group or you as an individual make a contribution, it goes to the General Service Board, to the trustees. It never goes to employees. It never goes to GSO. AA money always goes to trusted servants elected by the fellowship. And then what do the trustees do with that money that you contribute? They transfer it to AAWS to carry out the services. That's what happens. AA Grapevine is funded by subscriptions to the Grapevine or to the app, the podcast, or Grapevine literature, Grapevine books. But at the end of the year, if there's extra money and it goes back into the reserve fund, that's a one-way street for the service corporations. The best way to explain who controls the reserve fund is two-way street versus one-way street. The trustees can put money in the reserve fund and they can take it out. The affiliate corporations can only put money in the reserve fund. If they need money, like AA World Services did need money in 2020, the AAWS board has to pass a motion to request from the trustees' finance committee that they would like some reserve fund money. Then the trustees' finance committee has to look at all the facts and have an informed discussion and have a group conscience vote. And only if there is a motion that is passed by the trustees' finance and budget committee, then does it go to the full board of directors, the full general service board, all the trustees, for them to approve the recommendation of the trustees' finance committee. So that's why, you know, when I said that this is probably in the wrong section, the reserve fund is called the reserve fund of the General Service Board, and it is only controlled by that. So there's another thing in here about trademarks, copyrights. The corporate boards are charged with owning our intellectual property. Now, one thing that's not intellectual property is archives. Even though you may go on eBay and you may see how much a first edition big book would cost, those are not assets. We don't put a financial price on a spiritual piece of literature. Our assets, though, besides our money, is the copyrights on the literature we have. Now, people sometimes say, doesn't that really go against our principles? Shouldn't we just let people print whatever they want to print? But the only way we can control the integrity of our message is by having a copyright so that no one else can use it or change it. Some of you might know that we don't have the copyright on the first and second edition English big book. That's why you see other people selling it. That's why you see other people changing it sometimes. But the third edition, fourth edition, and the rest of our literature that's copyrighted, no, you need permission from us. And we don't give permission in the United States to anyone to print our literature or publish it. AA World Services does grant licenses to other GSOs internationally. If they want to print our literature or translate it, we will give them a license. Trademarks are interesting because obviously a lot of people know you still see the circle and triangle all the time. D, remind me of that. We should put the policy for use of the circle and triangle in the files as well. We stopped using the circle and triangle as a registered trademark. We stopped protecting it or enforcing it in 1993. Now, if you were to go to the basement of the National Trademark Office, in whatever file cabinets in like the bottom floor, you would find that AA World Services still is the registered owner of the Circle and Triangle. The decision we made is to not enforce it, to allow it to be used in the public domain. Now, people ask all the time, why did we make that decision? Well, we made that decision because if you have a trademark, you can't really selectively enforce it. Meaning, if some people are using it without your permission and you're going after them, but other people are using it and you're not going after them, it's going to make your case very hard to prove against the people that you're going after. Because, we make fun of our court system, but at the end of the day, it's supposed to be fair. And back then, in this whole circle and triangle nightmare, people who we were telling not to use the circle and triangle, they were going to like lots of AA conferences and conventions and taking pictures of all the jewelry sold in the drunk store and, telling us about how many AA members wore circle and triangle earrings or rings or necklaces or God knows what else. And what were we going to do? Enforce it against our own members? So it was a very smart decision at the time to not use it anymore for us. But I will put the policy, I'll give it to D to put in the files. We did not tell intergroups or AA groups or anyone else to stop using it. It's still accepted by many as a spiritual symbol of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's just not our registered trademark anymore. So let's talk about the blue people. Is there anyone here who has their camera on just by raising your regular hand? Who does not know what the blue people are? Okay. So here's what I would tell you. You should go on AA.org the next time you have a chance, and you'll see the website come up, and you'll see this image of blue people that like symbolizes all the different types of people that are in and members of Alcoholics Anonymous. The blue people, even though some people try to use it, no one gets permission to use it except for AA World Services, AA Grapevine, and the General Service Board. Sometimes I see districts and areas and intergroups using it. They're not allowed to use it either. One of the reasons for this, some of you might were around at the time, some of you might not have been. But back in the mid-teens of 2015, 16, 2013, 14, 15, there was a large lawsuit against AA World Services and the General Service Board and an intergroup about a murder that was committed in California. A woman AA member was murdered by a man that she met in AA and was dating. There was a huge lawsuit against Alcoholics Anonymous, a very dangerous one, saying that we didn't warn people about who they could meet in AA meetings. One thing I would tell you, because this is just a side note, personal pet peeve of mine, when people put down religion sometimes in meetings of AA, I think that's just as much a violation of the tradition as talking about your own personal religion. Not only do many religions let us meet in basements and let us find a belief in a higher power that might not even be that religion's higher power. At that time, a few religions filed Friends of the Court briefs in California supporting Alcoholics Anonymous. We didn't ask them to do it, but they were very concerned too because. What about somebody that meets somebody in church? I mean, whether, we are all kind of organizations where the beauty of AA is we don't care who you are. We don't care what you did before you came here. We care that you behave while you're here. But we don't screen anyone coming in the door and say, oh, you can't come in because you did this. No, every alcoholic, a person with a drinking problem, is welcomed with a wide door. And as I always say, a bad cup of coffee in an uncomfortable chair. We don't keep people out. But one of the reasons we had to make this policy for the blue people was that if an intergroup or a district or an area is using the blue people, it looks like you're part of us. It looks like you're legally connected to us. And we can't send that message. Because in that lawsuit, we had to say that we're not responsible for what groups do. We're not responsible for what areas or districts or intergroups do. We're responsible for the General Service Board, the AA World Services Board, and the AA Grapevine Board, and those companies. That's what we're responsible for. But, every AAWS meeting, there will be a section where there is permission that has been requested to use some of our copyrighted literature. Now, we have a fair use policy where if you're using like two sentences, we might grant you permission, but we won't grant you permission to use a bunch of paragraphs or a couple of pages. Same with our trademarks. There is a department at GSO, which is the Intellectual Property Department, and they bring those to the board every board meeting and say, this is the people we told no. This is the people we told yes, and a reason as to why for each. Next on the corporate boards, I'll just let you know that the corporate boards are much like the trustees, and I'll go into this more next week, but they do their business by committee. Each corporate board has a chairperson. There is a chairperson of AAWS, a chairperson of the AA Grapevine, and a chairperson of the General Service Board. Nothing against my good friend Scott H., who is currently the chair of the General Service Board, who I have great respect for. But I'll give you my view of being the chair of one of the affiliate corporations, because through circumstances, I had to chair AA World Services 2 years. Being the chair of AAWS compared to being the chair of the General Service Board for me, Scott may have a different view of it now that he's chair of the General Service Board. But for me, chair of the General Service Board is like being the king or queen that everybody loves and everybody wants to shake their hand and everybody is nice to them and their job is to be nice to everybody and to go to all the regional forums. Being chair of AA World Services or AA Grapevine is like being the prime minister. You deal with all the nonsense, all the problems, all the issues that affect any other company. You deal with if there are issues with employees, that comes to you. All kinds of issues come to you. But those boards, like the General Service Board, do their work by committee. As you know, the General Service Board really only meets 3 times a year. It meets in July. In fact, the board weekend just ended yesterday. It was this weekend. The trustees meet in October, and the trustees meet in January. The trustees do have a meeting after the General Service Conference, but that's to deal with the conference. But really, the work of the General Service Board is 3 board weekends a year. We use an alcoholic definition of weekend. It starts on Thursday and ends on Monday. It is not Saturday and Sunday. Sometimes it even starts on Wednesday night. It's a very alcoholic description or use of the word board weekend. AA World Services meets 8 times a year. It meets every time there is a board weekend. So those 3 times, it meets on the Thursday or Friday before the trustees weekend. And then it has 5 standalone meetings because of the amount of work regarding that company. Same with AA Grapevine, Inc. AAWS has the following committees: technology, communications and services, finance, publishing, nominating, and internal audit. AA Grapevine has committees as well. They have a risk management committee. They have a finance committee. It goes into the selection process of non-trustee directors. I explained that a little bit, but I'll explain it again as I end here. Inbox 459, as well as an announcement to every current delegate, every current trustee, every past trustee, every past director of AAWS or the Grapevine, an announcement for a new non-trustee director opening will go out. And then you have to submit your resume. Usually about 50 or 60 people submit, usually somewhere around there. The nominating committee, and not the trustees nominating committee, the AAWS or the AA Grapevine nominating committee, will have a matrix spreadsheet, and will each individual will rate, give a numeric score to each person who sent in a resume. You do not have to be a past delegate to be a non-trustee director. Some non-trustee directors are past delegates, like myself. Others are not. It is not a requirement. We have had some great, great, great non-trustee directors that are not past delegates and general service trustees that are not past delegates. Usually the part they have to catch up the most on is our AA group conscience process at the service level beyond the group, if they don't have experience with that. If they've not, most of them have been active at district, but not all of them have been delegates or been to the general service conference. But once the four members of the nominating committee on AAWS or AA Grapevine go through all the resumes, they agree on interviewing about five people out of the 50 or 60 that applied. If there's two openings, they usually agree to interview about seven people. Each of those people is contacted, and they come into New York. Obviously, during COVID and the pandemic, they did it via Zoom, but it's an important interview. The people come into New York. They're interviewed for about an hour and a half each by the nominating committee. The nominating committee then, through third legacy procedure, after all the interviews, will come up with their candidate. That candidate is then presented to the full AAWS board or full Grapevine board. And then that board has to approve them. Once they're approved by the nominating committee of that board, then they have to go to the trustees nominating committee. So that resume gets sent on to the trustees from the chair of AAWS to the chair of Grapevine, who says, hey, we're selecting this person. But it's not final. The trustees nominating committee, that person. And then that's not final. Because remember, in concept eight, it's the trustees who elect the directors of these corporations as the owners. Then it has to go to full board of trustees. And the full board of trustees has to approve that person as a non-trustee director. And then after that, still not done, because the conference has to approve three slates at the conference. They have to approve the trustee slate, the AA Grapevine slate, and the AAWS slate. And that's the road, kind of like, how does it, if you're my age, how does a bill become a law? That's how a AA member becomes a non-trustee director. And it can be very complicated at times. So with that, we're going to have a lot of time the next 2 weeks to really dive into AAWS and AA Grapevine. But if you have a question, please send it in. Can the conference choose to not elect an individual, or does it have to be the entire slate? That's like saying, do you walk to school or bring your lunch, right? That can be a complicated question depending on who you ask. But you're asking me. So if you're asking me, the conference can do whatever it wants. The normal procedure is to approve the slate. Does the conference have the power to remove a name from the slate, or does the conference committee on trustees? Yes, and they have done it before. Any other questions? I think you said there's no guidelines. What happens if the prudent reserve gets below 9 months? I wouldn't be surprised over the next couple of years if you saw some agenda items that had to do with the reserve fund. I'm not sure anyone predicted something like a COVID-19. I think we all thought there could be another 9/11 and our section of Manhattan might be closed down for a couple of weeks or a month. But I'm not sure anyone ever thought about a global pandemic. I would not be surprised to see a reserve, to see a agenda item to make the reserve fund maybe 12 to 15 months or 12 to 18 months instead of 9 to 12. I think there's no current guideline just because people never thought it would go below 9 months or not a lot below 9 months. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see an agenda item about the reserve fund in the future as well. That if the reserve fund goes below maybe not nine, but eight or seven, then we would have to take certain actions like not budget losses or budget money to put back every year into the reserve fund. Somebody said, let's see, why are they blue, the blue people? Oh, great question. You would have to ask the graphic artist, but I could tell you what I personally think, even though no one's ever going to put it in writing. They're blue because of the color of the big book. That's why they're blue. How concerned are you about the amount of the money in the reserve fund? Also, what are the key strategies to get it back? The key strategies to get it back are to not have any more losses and to have income over expenses. How concerned am I? I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned that it's 6.2 and it doesn't look like we'll be able to put a lot of money back in this year. It's going to take a couple of million. I'm very concerned because of the 5-year plan that was put out a year ago about the Grapevine and the new app. According to that plan, at this time, they should have 28,000 subscriptions. We only currently have 10,000. So that 5-year plan and all those numbers that are baked in next year, according to meet that 5-year plan to make the Grapevine profitable. And by the way, let me just make that side announcement. Being a nonprofit does not mean you don't make profit. Being a nonprofit means that the profit can't be a dividend to any individual person. We should have more income over expenses. That's called being responsible. So I am concerned because, and I guess sometimes people don't like to talk about it. But I happen to just be looking at this the other day. So let me pull it up so I'm not giving any false information. The 5-year plan, not only in 2023, in 2024, did it call for 28,000 subscribers, but in 2025, it called for 55,000 subscribers. And we're at 10,000 now, which is 65% below what we planned. And so things like that, I'm a little bit of a financial conservative. That's why I went on the board as a financial professional. Yeah, it definitely concerns me. Next question. For the reserve fund, could the plain language big book sales have an effect if sales are strong enough? No. We don't make that much money on individual pieces of literature. Literature sales are not going to bail us out with the reserve fund. In fact, if you looked at the last financials, which are first quarter 2024, contributions are ahead of where we predicted they would be. But even with literature prices last fall, literature is 200,000 below the budgeted amount. Literature is not going to be the answer to any of our financial problems going forward.
Really,
And
if oh, I'm
okay, so
sorry.
I just want to say one thing. I also want to make sure that if anyone out there is saying that the reason the plain language big book was made was to fix our money problems, that's just a conspiracy theory. It has nothing to do with reality. What I would ask is that, D, you could copy and paste these questions and we could have them at the beginning of next week, the ones I didn't get to. Okay.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.